All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2025.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, for those of you who have been following our Countdown 2024, yes, we've skipped ahead, and we are already planted firmly into 2025, with good reason, of course, because that's the countdown till 32 days Donald Trump takes over again as President of the United States. On today's show, we will examine the chaos unfolding in Congress, and think about it, we're going to try to do that in half an hour. Good luck to us, where the government is set to close tomorrow night and Republicans just cannot decide if it is Donald Trump, Mike Johnson, or Elon Musk who's really in charge. We'll be talking with a Republican member of Congress to ask what comes next. Oh, speaking of Musk, we'll also take a closer look at the tech billionaires who once despised Trump but have decided to butter him up this second time around. But first this.
So we were talking about all of that chaos in Congress after a deal between Republicans and Democrats in the House on a 3-month government funding bill fell apart, increasing the chances of a shutdown. House Republicans are saying today that they might have a new deal in place. The agreement would suspend the debt ceiling for 2 years while Donald Trump was calling for the ceiling to be eliminated altogether. Further details of the deal kind of scarce, we know a little, and there's still no word on what role, if any, Democrats will have to play in passing a government funding bill. With the federal government set to shut down at midnight tomorrow, the House could rush a vote today.
Jeff Bezos is the latest tech billionaire to make the pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago for dinner with President-elect Trump. Bezos, who of course is owner of Amazon and the Washington Post, a whole bunch of other stuff too, considered to be one of the world's richest men, had dinner with Trump as drivers at 7 Amazon facilities across the country went on strike. Also, at that Mar-a-Lago dinner with Trump and Bezos, guess who? Elon Musk, who has had a long-running professional rivalry with Bezos, but much more on this coming up a little bit later.
The Wall Street Journal has published a detailed expose on the great efforts made by White House staffers to keep the diminished status and abilities of President Joe Biden a well-guarded secret. The story says that visits with Biden by aides and dignitaries were kept short, focused, and limited, and that an elaborate set of gatekeepers and walls were kept around Biden to shield the public from the obvious signs of his aging. The White House was apparently operating in a protective mode around Biden, even well into his campaign against Donald Trump, all while insisting that the president was up to the challenge of a re-election bid.
Elon Musk, who in addition to funding Donald Trump's campaign to the tune of about $250 million, is also now apparently forming legislative policies for the incoming administration. It is just one of several tech billionaires, he is, who have found a sudden and intense affinity for the president-elect. Bradley Tusk is CEO of the venture capitalist firm Tusk Venture Partners. Before that, he was a political consultant who helped to guide Mike Bloomberg's New York City mayoral campaigns and was communications director for Senator Chuck Schumer. Bradley, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So it's interesting. I remember on election day looking at the ballot. I don't recall, maybe I missed it. I don't recall seeing Elon Musk's name on the ballot. But now when I look...
It was in the fine print.
Was it in the fine print?
Yeah, you didn't look close enough.
It was the one with the asterisk. That was it. But I noticed on X the other day, formerly Twitter, that he now even speaks in the imperial we. You know, he'll say things like, we need to do this and we need to do that, speaking, I guess, for Donald Trump. Is he actually Musk in charge?
I don't think he's in charge. And I think that we can kind of brace ourselves for the inevitable Trump-Musk fallout that will happen sooner or later. But right now, Musk is riding high. He bet on the right horse. They won. Trump seems grateful for it. And for as long as Musk can use that to exercise power and influence. Look, Elon and Trump are very similar in that they both have a bottomless, desperate need for attention and validation at all times, and they will take it wherever they can get it. And neither of them are capable of any sort of restraint whatsoever. And so Elon's going to run with this as far as he can. And then eventually Trump's going to be annoyed that Elon is getting too much good attention, and that relationship is going to start to fray. But until then, you know, Elon's going to be out there.
And you think that's going to happen because basically Trump can only be the star of the show.
Yeah. And I don't think Elon is capable of, you know, noticing that or managing himself or taking a back seat. So you have the two most sort of alpha type A personalities imaginable, and it's working great now. But, you know, there's a reason why lots of relationships, partnerships, everything else fail. And this one seems heading in that direction. Again.
Any guess on when the bromance breaks up?
It's a good question. I'll put in the office pool. I'll give it 8 months.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the bigger story here and the idea of all these tech CEOs heading out and meeting with Trump. How does Musk kind of play into all of that? I mean, obviously, he's got the president's ear. What is your take on his role in that with regard to these other big tech executives kind of lining up to court Trump?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the moment, he is the gatekeeper. And if you are Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg or anyone else, you basically have to figure out how to make Elon happy if you want to make Trump happy. Now, again, I don't think that exists forever or lasts forever. But for now, they have to eat a lot of humble pie, and a lot of people who have had historical issues with Elon and with Trump, for that matter, you know, have to put their tail between their legs and just sort of, you know, suck it up. And it's going to be like that with Trump for the next 4 years and with Elon, you know, for at least for the next while. But, you know, to a certain extent, this is how power works, right? You know, Willie Sutton sort of famously said, you know, when they asked him, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Yeah. Power right now is in Mar-a-Lago. It's in the Trump world. It's Elon. And so every other tech billionaire is going to make the pilgrimage and do what they need to do to protect their wealth and protect their business.
I was going to say, I mean, these are billionaires. What happened to the notion that people who have that kind of wealth really don't have to kowtow to anyone? Is it because they are being transactional and they figure that even if they don't really like the guy, it's going to help their business? Is that all it is?
I think it's a combination of that and in some ways also fear, right? You have a president-elect now who says that he will use the Justice Department to investigate and punish his enemies. You see him filing litigation against anyone he doesn't like. And so, yeah, there are policy reasons why, say, Jeff Bezos cares about what the White House thinks, whether it's antitrust efforts against Amazon or NASA contracts for Blue Origin or whatever else. But all the more, he doesn't want the Justice Department up in his business investigating everything he's doing. That gets scary. You never know where that kind of stuff can land. And so they're treading, you know, they're paying homage to try to stay on the good side of the ledger. Now, look, you haven't seen Bill Gates or Mike Bloomberg or, you know, Warren Buffett. There are plenty of billionaires who are worth a lot of money who aren't doing that. But I think those are also all guys kind of who are much older and on sort of the backside of their career, maybe have less to protect.
We are speaking with Bradley Tusk, CEO of the venture capitalist firm Tusk Venture Partners. We were talking about the likes of like Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Sam Altman, OpenAI CEO. They've all pledged $1 million to Trump's inaugural fund as well. I mean, and they're not really being quiet about it. They're making public statements about it. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it says exactly what we think, which is they're buying influence, right? And they're buying goodwill. And one way to ingratiate yourself to Trump is to give him money, right? That is, you know, in many ways, Trump is like an old school mob boss, right? Where he wants you to pay tribute to him. And the tribute in this case comes in form of donations to the inauguration committee. And so, look, they're doing exactly what their Washington lobbyists are telling them they need to do to win favor with Trump. But look, if you're Sam Altman, OpenAI is, you know, AI is yet to be regulated in many places. And the federal government has really not weighed in much at all yet. And the federal government can either make your life very easy or very difficult. And for Altman, he has a lot at stake and he's going to do whatever he needs to do to maintain his influence.
You know, a lot of people are probably wondering, what does all that money, these millions of dollars that Margaret just mentioned, that are now being poured into the presidential inaugural committee, and all presidents have that. Trump is not an exception to that. But where does all that money go? What is it used for?
Parties.
Parties. So million-dollar parties.
Yeah. Lots of parties and balls and festive events and all of that, because I'm pretty sure the government pays for like the security and the chairs at the inauguration and stuff like that. So this is mainly just all the pomp and circumstance around it. But you know who really loves pomp and circumstance?
Trump. Donald Trump. So all this money goes to paying for hors d'oeuvres, basically.
Basically, yeah, canapes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, hopefully they all get invitations after all that money spent.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, do you foresee a fallout in the future with any of these tech CEOs? Is there anything that could...
Musk, you mean?
Other than Musk,
I mean... I think it depends on if they don't get what they want, right? So... every single one of them has, you know, different interests at stake. Now, it might be that they don't get what they want, but they have too many other things at stake to make a fuss about it. But ultimately, if Trump's DOJ and FTC says, Amazon, we're going to try to break you up into multiple companies, you know, Bezos will have no choice but to go on the offensive. And so, you know, it's a little bit in Trump's hands right now, but they are hoping and praying that all that really matters to Trump is that you appease him and flatter him and validate him. And for as long as, you know, you can play that game, that's ultimately $1 million to the inauguration committee and a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago is a lot cheaper than having your company broken up or billions of dollars in legal fees. And so, you know, they're being smart about it. It doesn't mean it'll work, but that's definitely the right path.
If I get an invite, Bradley, you can come with me. Bradley Tusk.
I can't wait. I bet those canopies are going to be amazing.
They're probably going to be awesome. Bradley Tusk, CEO of the venture capitalist firm Tusk Venture Partners. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Deal or no deal for keeping the federal government open and operating. We will ask a Republican congressman next.
It's Countdown 2025
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2025
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the show. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. The Donald Trump brand of political chaos is back in Washington, D.C., and there's still a month ago before he's officially back in the White House. Here's a quick recap of the last week. Democrats and Republicans had a continuing resolution worked out that would fund the federal government for 3 months. It would have also increased funding for disaster relief and given new rounds of financial aid to struggling farmers. That deal almost immediately ran into opposition from deficit hawk Republicans, and then both Elon Musk and President-elect Trump moved to kill the funding plan outright. But now, perhaps a new compromise could be in place.
The new deal would also fund the federal government for just 3 months and would suspend the debt ceiling for 2 years. That was an implicit demand of Mr. Trump. Here to help walk us through what is a rapidly developing situation is Northern California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So give us a nutshell, cliff version, your interpretation of what is actually happening now vis-a-vis the potential government shutdown. What does this compromise that Mr. Trump and I guess Mr. Musk likes, what does it entail?
Well, it takes the continuing resolution from over 1,500 pages down to about 116, I think. So yeah, that'll tell you something about how it's been slimmed down. There's a lot I still don't like about it.
What don't you like?
I don't like the two-year debt limit increase. I am skeptical that $100 billion is necessary for disaster relief. No one begrudges disaster relief, but that's a pretty eye-popping number. And I absolutely hate the farm subsidies. However, I very much want to see President Trump succeed. And President Trump has made it clear that he believes that this is necessary to set the stage to get the administration off on the right foot. And that weighs very heavily in my calculations. Benjamin Franklin once advised the delegates to the Constitutional Convention to doubt a little of their own infallibility. And I think that's good advice in this circumstance. So it's certainly not a bill that I particularly like, but it's a bill that the president believes is necessary to get off on the right foot. And for that reason, I'm going to support it. It'll be up for a suspension vote tonight, which requires a two-thirds vote. If Democrats join us on that, the bill will go right to the Senate. If not, it will be taken up on the House floor tomorrow under a rule which would require only a simple majority. So we'll see what happens over the next 24 hours.
So even if the House does end up passing this, do you really see it getting the votes needed to pass in the Senate? And why would President Biden gift Donald Trump a 2-year debt ceiling suspension when Republicans repeatedly refused to increase it while he's been in office?
Well, actually, it did increase while he was in office rather substantially. I can't read minds and I can't tell fortunes, so I can't tell you what the Senate's going to do or what President Biden is going to do. But the House will have done its work, and then it will be up to the Senate to decide whether to shut down the government or to provide the incoming administration the tools it needs to get off to a successful start. And why would you want to do that if you're a Democrat? Well, if you love this country, you're going to want to see whoever's elected president succeed.
We were talking a little bit before on the show, Congressman, about Elon Musk. And I want to ask you, because you are an elected official, people, your constituents, went into a voting booth and decided they wanted you, those who voted for you, they wanted you to represent them in Washington. Same thing held true at the presidential level. Some people wanted Kamala Harris. Others wanted Donald Trump. Donald Trump won. Elon Musk was elected by no one, at least no one that I know of. Are you resentful as an elected official that Elon Musk does seem to have a conspicuously large profile in this incoming administration to the extent that he even weighed in and perhaps impacted this very vote that we are talking about now?
Well, first of all, not being elected is true of every presidential appointee in the administration.
Yeah, but let's talk about Elon Musk.
In Musk's case, this isn't even an official position. It's an advisory role. But I think he adds enormous credibility with this new Department of Government Efficiency. Again, an unofficial advisory group to the president. And that lends credibility to the president's request for a debt limit increase, because I do have great confidence in Musk's determination to bring spending under control and to root out the enormous amount of waste that we see throughout the federal budget, particularly in terms of runaway grants and subsidies. I mean, we go through hundreds of billions of dollars of waste that's just right there on the surface. I think he gives the president enormous credibility to ask for that debt limit increase and to ask budget hawks like me to vote for it with the confidence that the time that it buys will be used to bring our spending back under control. I think he adds a great deal to the administration's credibility with conservatives and a great deal of assistance in what's going to be a monumental chore of getting our spending back under control.
Congressman, we will hold it right there. We've got to take a break. We will continue our conversation with Republican Congressman Tom McClintock next.
This is Countdown 2025
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to the Thursday edition of Countdown 2025. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
Republican Congressman Tom McClintock remains with us to finish out the show.
Congressman, how do you think the second Trump term is going to differ, if at all, from the first one?
Well, I think he's going to, first of all, I think he has a much better grasp of what needs to be done, and the growth of government spending over these past 4 years has been so enormous. I think there's going to be two priorities. One, to bring spending back under control and revive the economy. That's the regulatory relief that we're going to be delivering, as well as the tax reform. And then, of course, securing the borders after nearly 8 million illegal migrants have been allowed into our country. Those are going to be the primary objectives of this administration. If they achieve them, I think they will save our country. I mean, history is screaming two warnings at us. Countries that bankrupt themselves aren't around very long. Countries that cannot or will not secure their borders aren't around very long. And we're staring down both of those barrels today.
I wonder where you stand on this idea that's been floated about the idea of making Elon Musk the House Speaker.
First of all, I don't think that that would be constitutional. Although the Constitution itself is silent on whether a speaker must be a member of the House, 250 years of precedent says that he does. And if you go back to the Articles of Confederation, the Congress from which our current form of government sprung from, that was very clear that the speaker had to be a member of the body. And that's also true of simple common parliamentary law. So for all those reasons, I think it's unconstitutional. I think it would be a bad idea.
Yeah, but think about it. Then you would all get probably free Teslas. Congressman Tom McClintock, thank you for being with us. Appreciate your time. Coming up on Thursday's Countdown 2025, over the years, both liberals and conservatives have called for a new constitutional convention to work on new amendments and update a nearly 240-year-old document. Tomorrow, on our last show of 2024, we're going to hold our own Countdown Constitutional Convention and, along with a couple of scholars, see whether we can improve upon the guiding principles of our country. That should be fun.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Ben Franklin, though, is not available.
Oh, shoot.
If you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2025 and follow the show.